Good morning, everyone. And I think you all came back, even though you knew I was coming back. That's encouraging. So, another question. What is this season of the year called? Advent. And we said Advent means a coming or an arrival of someone special, right? And we said last Sunday that Advent begins at the end and not the beginning. And the end was about what subject? Does anybody remember? You know, all pastors know that by Sunday night, 98% of what they said that morning has already been forgotten, right? So I'm looking for the 2% that didn't forget. What did we talk about last Sunday? Oh, you're all busy with your smartphones. That's what you were doing. The king is coming, right? The king is returning. The king is coming back. Today, we're going to go to the beginning. Last week, we started at the end. Today, we're going to the beginning. Are any of you familiar with or remember what was the very famous television series of about a half a dozen years ago, maybe longer, called Touched by an Angel? All right. You can remember that far back, can you? Wow. He watched it from the crib. Touched by an Angel was a famous series that had a kind of an underlying Christian theme to it. I think I watched one or two, but I do know that it was very popular during the few years that it ran, but I didn't look up how long ago it ran. Well, today we're going to talk about a very famous woman who was touched by an angel. No, I'm not going to be talking about my wife, Jean. You probably will be disappointed to hear that, but I probably should talk about her. Because God used her to touch me, and I think God spoke to her before he ever got through to me. But anyway, we're not going to talk about my wife. Now, here's another question. How many young women here are ages 13, 14, or 15? Women, girls, whatever. Okay, you are 13, 14, and 15. Today, we're talking about your peer group. We're talking about you. Now, you may not believe this, but today we're talking about someone who was your age. With all apologies to adults and the fact that the pictures up there make it look like we're talking about someone in her 20s, we are not. Who am I talking about? Mary. The most famous woman in human history. Anybody here named Mary? No Marys? No Marys. It's a very popular name, obviously. The most famous woman in human history. A woman who was touched by an angel. Way back in the 1980s, I got an invitation one day from Furen University in Taipei. Furen University is a Catholic university. And they told me that this is a year, I don't remember what year it was, but this is a year of Mary. And they were having a conference at the end of the year, and I was invited to come and speak to them on behalf of the Protestants to present a paper called The Protestants' Understanding of Mary. And to tell you the truth, I didn't have much to say. Because most of us know from the Christmas pageants that Mary sat there very serenely by a crib, gazing down at that little infant in a manger and a halo on her head. And Mary was at the cross when Jesus was crucified. But how many of you can really talk more than a minute about Mary? So that invitation sent me on a journey, not on which I'm sharing today, but at least to think about Mary in a new light. And I hope I will see at least a few of you today using this form, because we are going to learn something today from a teenage girl. Now, that may be hard for the grandparents to swallow, but we're going to learn some powerful lessons today from a young woman who was no more than a mid-teenager. Is that possible? Of course it is. With God, all things are possible. Now, I want you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 1, and I hope you have your Bibles or you can borrow a Bible. And keep it open, because we're not going to leave Luke chapter 1 today. We want to look at this amazing young woman, Mary, a woman who was touched by an angel and who changed the course of human history. Now, question number one on our outline is, why Mary? Why Mary? What do you know about Mary? What do you know about her qualifications? What qualified her to be the mother of Jesus? By the way, if I step away from the mic, can you still hear me? You can't. See, secret of a happy marriage is always follow your wife wherever she goes, right? Mary, what do you know about her? What qualifications did she have? Pardon? She was a virgin. Well, in those days, most people were. That would have made the angel job a lot harder today, sadly to say. Okay, we don't know much about her. What qualifications did she have? I think Paul answers the question in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Look it up sometime and study what he says about the kind of people God uses, because he's also including Mary. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26, Paul is discussing this amazing thing called the gospel and the kind of people that God uses. And he says in verse 26, not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many. Not many of you were influential by human standards. Not many of you were from noble birth. You see, if we had a job, we would have picked these kind of people, right? God didn't. But God chose who? Let's read that. But God chose the weak things of the world, right? Repeat that. God chose the weak things of the world. Well, 20% are listening and 80% are probably sleeping, okay? God chose the weak things of the world. What else does he say? He chose the lowly and he chose the despised so that no one may boast. Mary had no credentials in herself so that she could boast about the fact that I was highly favored of God. So that no one may boast. What do we know about Mary? Well, she came from a tiny little town called Nazareth, which to the pure Jews of southern Israel in Jerusalem, they looked down on that village. When they heard Jesus had come from there, what good can come from Nazareth? What good can come from Nazareth? I had a young woman at the seminary in Taipei many, many years ago. She had some real emotional issues in her life, and I don't know how she ended up in the seminary, but one of them was she despised the fact that she came from a small, poor village in central Taiwan, and they were poor, and I was poor, and I had no dignity, no self-respect. Well, that's the kind of village that Jesus' angel would have gone to find someone like Mary. Her family? Don't know anything about her. But we know she was what? We know she was engaged. Now, engaged in that day is the same thing as being married, but you haven't gone through the rituals and you aren't yet living together. But she was, for all practical purposes, married without the formal relationship. Only the ceremony remained. Now, how old was Mary? Anybody know? Pardon? 14, close enough. The honest truth is nobody knows. Nobody knows. But in those days, as with China, as with the Mideast, young girls were married off young. Just think, you junior high school girls, if your parents had you all lined up to get married at the end of junior high school. Your great-great-grandparents might have done that, right? Or maybe your grandparents. In those days, they were arranged, they were young, and the young girl oftentimes was no more than 13 or 14 or 15. And even today in the Mideastern countries, it's not unusual to find a girl 8, 9, or 10 assigned to be married. So Mary was not a young adult in her 20s. She was most likely no more than 15, maybe 16, but more likely 13 or 14. Or 15. Now remember that. Think of how young, of course, if you're 13, 14, you think you're really old, I know. But the older people know that when you're 13 and 14, put yourself in the shoes of that 14-year-old or 15-year-old or maybe 13-year-old girl that suddenly experiences what Mary experiences. And unlike you, who have access to the world, she knew nothing outside of her little town called Nazareth. At best, she probably had the equivalent of a grade school education. She could probably read and write. But her job was to stay home and tend to the fire and help cook meals and take care of her mother and father. And we don't even know what she did for a living, if she earned any money. That's all we know about Mary. And she was a virgin. She was a virgin. And to this young woman, one day, working at home, whether mom was around or not, we don't know, suddenly something strange and startling happened to her, and she saw what apparently she thought at first was a vision. Something strange that was so strange it would change the course of human history. And she had no idea that it was coming. Let's look at our passage in Genesis, in Luke chapter 1. And what does it say? In verse 26. Suddenly, the angel of the Lord appeared to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Now, if that had happened to you, how would you have responded? I'd wager she was scared out of her socks. First of all, there had been no prophet from the Lord, no revelations, no nothing for over 400 years. The one exception was 6 months earlier, her uncle, maybe Uncle Zechariah, had seen a vision in a temple in Jerusalem saying that your old wife, Elizabeth, is going to have a baby. She was past bearing children. And she had a baby called John. But you see, in small towns, there was no internet, no 24-hour news, nothing, no newspapers. Most likely, Mary knew nothing about that. Obviously, she didn't. That her elderly, probably aunt, was pregnant. She didn't know that and couldn't believe it. So from 400 years, God had not spoken a word to them since between now and the days the pilgrims landed on Plymouth Rock in 1620. And you're a young teen, and somebody shows up and says, "Greetings to you." How would you have responded? How would you have responded? Think of it. What's her first response? And by the way, why was she chosen? Not by merit. In the outline, it says not by merit. Not because of her qualifications, but it was an act of God's grace. Why was Abraham chosen? His family were idolaters. They worshiped idols. That's all Abraham knew. But God reached down and touched them by grace. Why was a murderer breathing threats, arresting Christians? Why was he chosen and converted from the name of Saul to Paul? His only qualifications were he was resisting everything God tried to do. Grace. Mary was chosen. None of you are chosen by God because you're going to get a PhD someday. Or because you're super nice. God chooses you and I by grace. And now what was Mary's response? If you were Mary, what would be your first response? Well, what does the angel say? It says in what? It says in verse 29, Mary was greatly troubled. So would I. I think you would be too. Greatly troubled. What was going on? And the angel says in the next verse 29, "Do not be afraid, Mary." The idea is that if an angel were to appear to you, you would be trembling in your boots and you would be shaking in your socks and you would be scared silly. Especially if you were a young girl, how does she know what's happening? Do not be afraid, in verse 30. What's going on here? The angel is saying, you are highly favored. Mary is troubled. What in the world is he up to? And then the bomb drops. What bomb? You're going to have a baby. Now think about that. You're 14 or 15, and you're going to have a baby? I don't think Mary heard much of anything else the angel was saying. I've never been pregnant, so I can't speak for those who have been. But we've had five kids. I know what my wife went through a little bit. And I remember the first time she got pregnant, we were just newly married, and it shook us up big time because we weren't ready for that. But at least we were married. But Mary, 14, 15, pregnant? You know what they did to pregnant girls in those days out of wedlock? They stoned them. They still do that in the Middle East in many countries. They kill them. They stone them for violating the moral social codes of their society. So he says, you're going to be pregnant. God has blessed you with blessings like that. Maybe you should go bless somebody else. God, I don't want to do this. I think that's what Mary was thinking of, to be realistic. See, Mary was no angel. She was touched by an angel, but she was not an angel herself. She was very human. And sadly today, with 67% of all kids in some communities being born out of wedlock, big deal. It's a badge of courage to be having babies with no kids. And then, of course, in those days, there were no abortion clinics. There were no options but to carry that baby to full term. And don't you think that Mary was afraid? And that was the first thing the angel said. Don't be afraid. Because you know, when God touches you sometimes, he may ask you to do something that will cause you to tremble in your boots. And you may be afraid like Mary was. And he says, you know what, Mary? It's okay. Afraid of what? Joseph, my fiancé. What do you tell my fiancé or my boyfriend? Hey, I'm pregnant. How'd that happen? God made me pregnant. Now, come on. What boyfriend is ever going to believe that? Right? Never happened before, never happened again. What are you going to tell your parents? What's up, Mary? Oh, I'm going to have a baby. How do you explain that to your parents? That's a problem even today, even if you're 18, 19, and 20. You've got a problem explaining that to your parents. What are you going to say in a community where there's a good chance they're going to stone you to death? Do you think Mary was happy about this announcement? How many think she was overwhelmed with joy? Oh, but you're going to carry what? He will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. I don't think Mary heard many of those words clearly. All she knew is, I'm going to be pregnant. Now, maybe this sounds a little gross, but this is probably exactly the way it happened. Fear. Okay, after the fear came what? She says what in verse 34? How can this be? Why did she question it? Because she says what? I'm a virgin. God, I need to tell you, you know, you don't get pregnant if you're a virgin. He said, oh, but God can do anything. So she had questions. How can it be? How can it be possible? Questions, you know, Mary wasn't stupid. She knew the basic facts of life about birds and bees. She didn't have to tell the angel, you know, hey, I'm a virgin. But she did anyway because she was confused and she was questioning, how do I explain this to my boyfriend? How do I tell my parents? I don't even dare explain it to the community because they have zero tolerance. And if she lived under today's Taliban, she wouldn't even have the chance to live till the next day because that's the way they operated. Now, notice as we go on down that text, verse 34, how can this be, Mary says, and the angel said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And then the angel says something interesting. Let's look at verse 36. Even Elizabeth, your relative, we don't know what kind of relative, but probably an aunt, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren in her sixth month is now going to have a baby. And then the angel says what? Let's read verse 37 together, because that's a key verse. What does verse 37 say? Let's read it. For nothing is impossible with God. And Mary hears this frightening message that she's going to be pregnant and carry a baby, and she's not married. And then she hears that something amazing had happened to her relative, Elizabeth. And the angel concludes and says, but nothing is impossible. Even Mary, you're carrying this baby to full term and not being stoned to death. It's all going to be under God's loving protection. And then let's read that beautiful acceptance in verse 38. What does Mary say? I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. And then the angel left. Now, this is no flippant response. This is no casual response. Mary meant it. I am the Lord's servant. What if something like that had happened to you? Would you have responded like that? Now, what can we learn from this young teenage girl named Mary, who had been touched by an angel? What can we learn? Let's read the rest of the story, and then we'll pick it apart very quickly. Let's read it together, because this is amazing what she says and what is recorded in this passage. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea. Now, I'm going to give you the first of the next points, even though the PowerPoint isn't up yet. But notice what's happening. It's easy to miss. Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, verse 40, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. Why did she go to Elizabeth? First of all, she's a young teen. She shouldn't be traveling alone. It's probably 30, 40 miles. It's probably the distance from maybe here to Cummings. And you're going to do this all alone? You're going to explain to your mother and your boyfriend that you're taking off for a while and you don't know when you'll be back? Why did she go to see Elizabeth? You're a 15-year-old, 14-year-old pregnant girl. Your auntie's going to have a baby. She's in her 60s. You don't believe it, but why did she go? The first point in that outline is what? To confirm what God said. Now listen, I've known more than one person, many people in life, who have gotten into trouble because God sent somebody to them and said, God says you should do thus and so. Or God has spoken me to tell you thus and so. Or God has told me thus and so. And the ones that get in trouble believe it hook, line, and sinker. And they don't check it out. The first thing Mary had to do was to confirm what the angel said. If this is true, let me get confirmation. Let me go find somebody who's older and wiser than myself and who has more experience. And that's usually a good person to go to when you get a word from the Lord. Check it out with someone. And she goes there to find out what is happening to Elizabeth. Did God call you to do something special? Was God calling you into the ministry? Check it out. Go to somebody older and wiser and say, do you think this is a word from the Lord? Because until that time, Mary was noncommittal. She has to go see. There's nothing wrong with questioning, even a vision from God, if you check it out. Now, what happens? Here comes the confirmation. Notice the confirmation. Let's read verse 41 and on. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. And by the way, how did Elizabeth know this? She didn't read in the paper. Mary was not stupid, and she could see God was at work, speaking to someone that couldn't have known any other way unless she heard a word from the Lord. Verse 43, but why am I so favored? Let's read it together. That the mother of my Lord should come to me. As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill this promise to her. And Mary said, and what follows has been labeled by some the most revolutionary document ever uttered. A document that describes the Messiah coming in terms radically different from what the Israelites were expecting. This is not the God or Messiah or Savior that was going to deliver them from Rome. This is a God who has a very different agenda. This is a social manifesto and a religious revolution. Let's read it. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Let's read 48. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Holy One, Mighty One, has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts, then returned home. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. That is not what most politicians want to hear, or rulers, or kings, or emperors. He has filled the hungry with good things. He has sent away the rich empty. That is not what the wealthy like to hear. These are the words of Mary, a teenage girl. He has helped, verse 54, he has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful. 55, to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. And then Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. How long did she stay? 3 months. Okay, now let's do some simple calculations here. How far along was Elizabeth? Huh? 6 months. When would she have the baby? 9 months. How much is 6 plus 3? When did Mary go home? Probably stayed to help Auntie give birth to that baby called John. Okay? Now, you probably haven't told your boyfriend yet what happened about the angel, because you have to go and confirm it. And now you're coming back 3 months later. Chances are you're starting to look a little different, right? Now, if you were Joseph, I'm speculating a little, but I think I'm pretty close to the truth. If you were Joseph and your girlfriend takes off for 3 months and comes back home, 3 months pregnant, how willing would you be to throw your arms around her and say, oh, I'm so happy to see this? Not likely, right? So what are the lessons that we can learn from Mary in this amazing story? The first thing we've already talked about is confirm what God tells you. Go and check it out. And when she saw Mary, Elizabeth, everything began to make sense. And now notice, what does she do? Interesting. When did she sing this magnificent song called the Magnificat? Not after the angel appeared in Nazareth, but after she went over the hills to this other village, after Elizabeth confirmed that who is in you is you are the mother of my Lord. At that point, everything made sense, and Mary erupted into a confession of praise. My soul does glorify the Lord. Now Mary is confirming and confessing what is now really true. J.S. Bach made a complete oratorio called the Magnificat out of this. Now poetry comes alive and music bursts forth, and Magnificat has been the basis for some of the most beautiful music ever written. This simple confession of a young teenage girl. And the angel's announcement is now confirmed in the words of Auntie Elizabeth. This amazing revolutionary document. She confirms it, she confesses it, and now what? This isn't found in the scripture, but it's all part of the story. God's call usually comes with a price tag attached. Did you know that? There's no such thing as easy, cheap Christianity. Do you think Mary's life after that was a picnic? This young girl, think about it. She had to face the cost of rejection. Rejection. By who? Brother Thomas Teo, and thank you for that amazing worship experience this morning. That was inspiring. Matthew says when Joseph got the news, he decided to what? To divorce her and just put this behind him. And he was going to usher away to another village where she could have her baby and nobody would know what was going on. Rejection. My boyfriend is going to divorce me. Rejection from the family. Great rejection from the community, not recorded, but that's part of the culture. When you are unfaithful and unethical and you compromise your moral standards, you pay a huge price. And for Mary, it was a huge price. The cost of rejection, the cost of discomfort. It isn't enough that you, as a young woman, have to carry a baby for 9 months. We're going to have you deliver it down the road about 90 miles. And you're going to get there by riding on a donkey. And you're going to get there at full term. My good wife Jean has a little identity with that one because unfortunately, and I say unfortunately, 3 of her 5 pregnancies involved major moves at 9 months. But riding in a minivan or a car or a plane or a train was a little easier than riding on a donkey. But she did make 3 moves of 500 miles plus at full 9 months, and it was not easy. But none of that compares to what Mary endured. 9 months and riding on a donkey. And don't you think Joseph was praying the whole time that she wouldn't have her baby on the side of the road? But they arrived because that was part of God's promise. Discomfort of the journey, humiliation. This King of Kings and Lord of Lords, they're going to have him born now in the center of the courtyard of the temple in Jerusalem. That's where kings are born, right? Or at least in a house or a home. You are visited by an angel. You're going to bear a Messiah whose name will be called Jesus, who will save his people from their sin. And where was he born? Where? Hello? In a manger, right? I'm glad a couple, 3 of you know that story. In a barn, in a manger, maybe in a cliff in the side of a hill, we don't know. But can you imagine the humiliation of being told that you're bearing the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and the best you can offer is a straw manger with a bunch of cows and sheep standing around? You see, we gloss over Christmas so much, and we make it so much bells and whistles and shopping and ho-ho-hos and Santa Claus. Nobody thinks about what it costs. Nobody thinks of the humiliation and the discomfort and the rejection that this young woman, Mary, went through. Asians and Mideasterners and even some Americans understand that one of the values of having children, especially sons, is their insurance for old age, right? That's your Social Security. A son that is born and he gets a good job and takes care of his parents. Did Mary know at that time that there was a cross hidden in that manger where this young man would never live to old age, where he would never be able to support me? Did she know the pain that would come with raising him to see him crucified only at the age of 33 and his life terminated? Mary, did you know that? We don't know, but we know that she lived to see it happen. Pain and loss. And there's a fourth and final point for Mary, and that is this. She challenges us. This young woman, This is the only message you're ever going to hear where you're learning from a 15 or 14-year-old girl. Right? Consider this amazing young woman, the challenge. How do we respond? How do we respond to the call like what Mary had? What would we do if God came to you 13 or 14 or 15 or 16-year-olds or 26, 36, 46, and he tapped you on the shoulder and he says, I have a special job for you. Something I want you to do for me. How would you respond? That's the challenge. Would you probably, like many people, would you run? Or would you surrender? No matter what the cost. And there was a great cost for Mary. And she surrendered. Mary. Let's read verse 138. What a woman this young girl was. Would you dare to utter what she uttered in verse 38? Let's conclude by reading that verse together. Luke chapter 1, verse 38. Let's read that together. What does she say? I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Let's read that part one more time. That's our conclusion. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said.